Well, I'm still a grateful believer, believe it or not, and I'm finding victory over my addiction to alcohol. I'm still working on things like pride and lust and anger and short-temperedness and traffic and all that. My name is Jack. Hey there. So we're going to continue on in our teaching series, as I say most of the time, every other week. We are on, I forget what lesson we're on tonight, but as far as the number of lesson, but the lesson is titled Forgiveness. And this is one of those lessons that I think is key to recovery, but probably more importantly, key to our humanity, key to just being the people that God designed us to be, because forgiveness, of course, is modeled ultimately, as so many things are, by our Heavenly Father. So we just want to kind of get into that tonight, and I want to share a quote with you from a Bible scholar by the name of Warren Wiersbe. And so we'll just kind of set the tone with this tonight, kind of where we're going. He writes, "Forgiveness is the greatest miracle that Jesus ever performs. It meets the greatest need, it costs the greatest price, and it brings the greatest blessing and the most lasting results." We'll come back to that a little bit later on in the evening, but just kind of thinking of that, I like the way he was just looking at forgiveness and the miracle that it was, and maybe the ultimate miracle that Jesus passed on to us. So that's kind of where we're going, kind of looking at this miracle of forgiveness in our lives. And so we're going to be focusing in on Principle 6 tonight, and I believe Steps 8 and 9. So Principle 6, we usually put those up on the screens behind me. So Principle 6 is evaluate all my relationships, offer forgiveness to those who have hurt me, and make amends for harm I have done to others, except when to do so would harm them or others. And we talked about amends a couple of weeks ago, and that the amends lesson was not a ready, set, go out and make them. It was kind of getting us ready, being willing to be willing. And that's a little bit of this lesson as well tonight. Because you have to go into those amends, as we talked about, with love. We have to go into amends not making it about the other person, because it's about us. And same thing with forgiveness, as we'll find out here in just a little bit. The scripture, or the Beatitudes that undergird that principle, Matthew 5:7, happy are the merciful, and Matthew 5:9, happy are the peacemakers. And in step 8 says, we made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Luke 6:31, do to others as you would have them do to you. And then step 9 also plays into the forgiveness piece here. It says, we made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would harm or injure them or others. And this is, therefore, if you are offering your gifts at the altar, and therefore remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. Matthew 5:23-24. That idea of kind of where is our heart? And that's what I'm going to continue to come back to in this lesson tonight, is the condition of our heart and what's in here versus what we know or, you know, up here. Okay? So that's kind of where we're headed tonight. And so this idea of forgiveness, I think for the world, and maybe even for us, depending on where we are in a given day, that idea of forgiveness can be something just by uttering the phrase, I forgive you, okay? But it's more than that, because sometimes that can slide off our tongue. Sometimes it doesn't slide off at all, and those words are important. But we're going to go a little deeper into forgiveness tonight. And really look at forgiveness is not about others. It's really about God and us. And forgiving others is the byproduct of the first two. And in fact, I'm going to rearrange your teaching notes tonight, and I'll try to remember to do this as you're giving fill-ins. There's no acrostic tonight, so not a lot of work on your part. But I'm going to take and reverse 2 and 3, the fill-in number 2 and fill-in number 3 here, because I believe that there is an order to the idea of forgiveness. And we start with God, we then work on ourselves, and then we go out to others. And in fact, step 5, which is not up on the screens tonight, This is not part of this lesson. But if you look at step five when Jill was running through those, you'll notice that that is the order that step five has, a little different than the principle. Step five talks about we admitted to God, then to ourselves, and then to another person the exact nature of our wrongs. And so I think that order of God, ourselves, and another person is, it plays into this, how forgiveness kind of should flow, all right? And I'll try to make a case for that tonight. So the word forgiveness, because I kind of like to look into these things, the Latin root word for that is perdonare. And we actually get the English word pardon, to pardon someone, from perdonare. So you can kind of see that pardon and forgiveness tying together. But perdonare, it means more than just, you know, I forgive you, it's okay, that type of thing. A more complete translation of perdonare would be to give completely without reservation. And so when you forgive somebody, is that you? Or is it, does it go that deep? Is it complete? Is it without reservation? Or is it more of a duty or something you're supposed to do or something like that? So that's just want to kind of challenge us where we're at with forgiveness in our lives. And as usual, there's always a lot of Jack in the teaching, because I'm learning as I'm going through and preparing for the lesson, and I'm seeing my shortfalls. And I have, in the recent years, had an issue in particular with forgiveness and a specific person in my life. And I'll share a little bit about with you maybe later on. But it wasn't going in that deep. And I knew that it had to be that deep, because I didn't want to be one of those folks that just said, I forgive you, and have it mean nothing. Because it wouldn't mean anything to me either, and I wouldn't get the real benefit that we'll talk about forgiveness. So that's what we're going to be looking at, or kind of where we're going tonight. And so we're going to start with God, as I mentioned. And so that first fill-in, have you accepted God's forgiveness in your life? Have you accepted God's forgiveness in your life? Romans 3:23 through 25, Paul writes, God puts people right through their faith in Jesus Christ. God does this to all who believe in Christ, because there is no difference at all. Everyone has sinned and is far away from God's saving presence. But by the gift of God's grace, they are all put right with him through Jesus Christ, who sets them free. God offered him, Jesus, so that by his sacrificial death, he should become the means by which people's sins are forgiven through their faith in him. So kind of a longer scripture than we normally than we normally look at. And Paul restates this. That was Romans 3:23. Paul restates this in Romans 6:23, where he writes, kind of condensed now, for the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God, and that gift being grace that we just talked about, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. So whether it's Romans 3:23 or Romans 6:23, you're kind of getting the same message. You're getting in the condensed version the gospel. And that free gift, that grace that talks about back in Romans 3:23, I cannot recall, I should have Googled this, I don't even know if I would have recognized the name, but I came across this really brief definition of grace, which I love, because it just seems to be so God. And the definition, grace is aggressive forgiveness. And I really like that. I mean, that just the action and the power, and that God doesn't just forgive you, he forgives you with aggressiveness. And so I love that. So that gift of aggressive forgiveness that he gives to us. So have you accepted that gift really into your heart? Have you accepted that aggressive forgiveness? Accepted that because God loved us so much, he gave us this thing called free will. Because he knew that was the only way to have a truly loving relationship with us. It also gives us the free will not to love him, not to obey him, not to worship him. And that is the track that humanity took. We put ourselves on the throne. We started worshiping the created, not the creator. And so that relationship was severed. But God has a plan, because God always has a plan to restore that. And so he sent his one and only son to live that perfect life that we couldn't, to be in perfect community with him, to worship and honor and love him by choice and by his free will. And then that son, Jesus, needed to be sacrificed to pay the penalty for our rebellion. So he did that. So does that sink into your heart, that level of forgiveness? Do you get that when you think about your relationship with God, when you think about how great that is? And so that's where we talk about, you have to get that first before you can take the next two steps. And so just reflect on that a little bit. Are you in touch with that? And if you're, I tell you, with me, I have to do that every day. And I don't do it every day, to be completely honest with you. But I have to, because I can start the day realizing that, and then all of a sudden, then, you know, I'm putting God where he should be and me where I should be. And then something happens in the day, and all of a sudden I'm just going, God, you need to scooch over, and I need to drive this thing for a while. And there I've completely taken it to control, and that rekindled that sin, that original sin of taking God out of his place and putting myself in it. So it needs to be, so I get it if it's something that is difficult for you, but I just think we need to connect with that, because that, I think, is going to be crucial to the further steps in truly being someone who is of a forgiving heart. So if you have done that, and if you are committed to recommitting to that, then we're ready to take the next step in living a life of true forgiveness, forgiving completely without reservation. So in order to take that next step, so in other words, and a lot of people think, well, that's when I forgive others. That's when we go to, no, there's one step in between. You got to forgive yourself. So we move from God, accepting God's forgiveness. And so that's the third fill-in on your blank, not number two here. I'm making it number two because I think this is the order that it should go into. And actually, let's see if I'd written it down here. I don't think I did. John Baker kind of talks about that. He mentions in writing in the Leader's Guide, he says, I think that you have to be able to forgive yourself before you can truly and completely forgive others. So that's why I tend to agree with him and put that second. So have you forgiven yourself? Romans 8:1, remember, there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. So what that says to me is that if I'm going to forgive myself and I'm going to try to do that without God, I'm probably not going to succeed. It may be actually flat out impossible, depending on my path and my story. And if you are someone out there that thinks, I can't forgive myself, what I have done or the things I have done or the places I've been or the relationships I've had or whatever it is, I can't do that. Well, and so, without God, you're correct. I'll give you that. Okay, without God, it is probably impossible for some of you to forgive yourselves. But as you know, and as it says in Matthew 19:26, with God, of course, all things are possible. So you need to make sure that that's why I start with God. However, if you're thinking to yourself, well, I even with God, I can't do this. So if you haven't forgiven yourself, you have, and I don't want to create an adversarial relationship with you here this evening, but if you haven't forgiven yourself, then you haven't truly accepted God's forgiveness. Number one. Number two, it's probably because you're still playing God. You're in denial. I mean, that's why we start this whole teaching series with denial. We start with step one. We talk about realize I am not God, because we have to start there. That's why the Beatitude, the very first words out of Jesus' mouth on the Sermon on the Mount, happy are those who are poor in spirit. Because really, you've got to get God. You've got to realize that. So if you, I want to challenge you, if you have not forgiven yourself, you need to go back and say, well, wait a minute, do I really get what God did for me? Am I really understanding that? So think about this for a second, because I know how logic, you know, sometimes gets in the way of emotions or vice versa. If you get up here that the creator of the universe, the creator of everything, you included, the creator that sent his one and only son to die for you, for me, if you don't think that creator, that God has the power to forgive you, then you're mistaken. Because once again, when we start going logically, okay, if he can create the universe, he can probably forgive me. I mean, if I'm looking at what the level of difficulty is, forgive Jack, create a galaxy. Seems pretty simple. But if I'm not forgiving myself, then I'm not accepting the fact that he has forgiven me, just as it says in Romans 1. There is no condemnation in Christ. So you need to come back to that and really reflect on that and really get that, okay? So now only after you've truly accepted God's forgiveness and as a result of that, in other words, I know you, I'll put it this way, you may not feel like forgiving yourself, but just know that you can do it. Because God, if God can do it and can forgive you, then you who are you to say, well, yeah, I know you can forgive me, God, but I'm just me. You know, you need to realize the Spirit is in you and you can forgive yourself. You just need to take that step and you do it with Him. So once it's led you to that step, you've been able to forgive yourself. Now, we're finally ready to go what I'll say the world or what a lot of us think of when we think of offering forgiveness, and that's forgiving others, other folks. And so that's the third one or the second fill-in on your handout there is, have you forgiven others who have harmed you? And this is, and I can see why we tend to focus on this in our lives. It plays a major part, either because we truly get the forgiveness of God, and once that sinks into our heart, that's set. And if we have then taken that power and forgiven ourselves because we know that He has, so if I'm good enough for God, I should be good enough for Jack, you know, type thing. But then there's somebody else out there, and that's where we can run into issues. Forgiving others really requires us to let go, okay? John Baker uses in the Leader's Guide, he talks about just the analogy of a tug of war, if you've ever participated in one of those. You know, two people or two teams on each end of a rope, usually there's a pit of mud or alligators or sharks or something in the middle, and each side is trying to pull the other into the pit. If you let go of the rope, it's kind of funny because everybody falls on their behinds on the other team, first of all. But if you let go of that rope, the tug of war is over. There's no more battle there because you've let go. And so it requires us to let go of whatever it is that we're holding on to against that person. Romans 12, 17 and 18. I think I've got that here. Says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody if it is possible, as far as it depends on you. Live at peace with everyone. John Baker puts that scripture this way. He says, causing an injury puts you below your enemy. So instead of forgiving them, you decide to go out and do something to them. That puts you below them. Revenge of an injury makes you even with them, so you can do to them what they did to you if it's possible. So now you're even with them. But forgiving them puts you above them. Okay? It puts you where God would like you to be, you know, above that fray. Okay? Forgiveness does not mean that what was done to you was okay. And that can trick up a lot of folks, that by offering forgiveness, now I'm saying that was okay, it's validated. No, it's not saying that at all. It is not saying that you trust that person now. You might be a fool to do that, and you may be perfectly right in not. So it doesn't say that. It doesn't say that person is safe for you to be around. Forgiving them doesn't do that. And it doesn't say that you guys are going to be best buds and pals. And that's what we talk about in the amends piece, you know, the not for them. That you may make an amends and it doesn't make things better, so to speak. But it's good, it makes you better, okay? So forgiveness doesn't do any of those things. Forgiveness is basically canceling the debt of what was taken from you. So let me give you, just to share a little bit of a personal story here. I've been struggling with forgiveness until just in February, I think it was. It's been a year and a half or two that my sister-in-law, one of my sisters-in-law, left her husband for another guy that happened to be a best friend of the family, the husband and wife, two friends since high school. She leaves my brother-in-law, has an affair with him. Now two families are destroyed. They end up separating, getting divorced, all that. And I could not forgive her for that, even though I knew that I was supposed to. But I just didn't feel like it. And I was sitting in church back in, I think it was February, and Pastor Bill was, our senior pastor here, was speaking about forgiveness in the relationship to the love passage in Corinthians. And he was talking about this idea that forgiveness is like canceling that debt. In other words, if I'm not forgiving somebody, I'm saying I want you to pay me back. You owe me. And they can't ever pay that back. They can't. And the same with you. If you've been the victim of, let's say, abuse as a child, you can't go back be unabused. That can't be changed. So they could never pay that back. And so by you not forgiving them, you're just keeping that block. The idea of forgiveness is saying you don't owe me anything. It's not saying those things I said before. It's not saying we're going to be friends. I trust you. That was okay. None of that. But it's saying you don't owe me anything. So that you can then drop that rope instead of just letting that eat at you. And when I heard the way Bill talked about this idea of you owe me nothing, I realized, wait a minute, yeah, that's right. Because I kept thinking, oh, if I you know, forgive her, then I'm going to be approving of this thing. No, that's not true. But it was a way that I was able to finally, you know, forgive her. And we're probably not going to be hanging out much at the family events, and I'm not going to go to their house and things like that. But I don't have to have that in my life anymore between us. You know, and I mentioned that idea of, that very real in it, because I know it exists in this room, those of you that have been victims of sexual, emotional, physical abuse as a child, as an adult. And I want you to understand that when you offer forgiveness, as I said, you're not making all of a sudden that's okay. And in fact, there are the steps 8 and 9, they are rewritten for victims. We have a separate 12 steps which we read from time to time here for victims of sexual, physical, mental abuse. And I just want to read steps 8 and 9 from that. It says, step 8, we make a list of all persons who have harmed us and become willing to seek God's help in forgiving our perpetrators, as well as forgiving ourselves. Realize we've also harmed others and become willing to make amends to them. And we talk about that in that the abuse you had nothing to do with, but oftentimes the trauma from that has led us to make choices in our lives where amends need to be made, behaviors need to be changed, you know, things like that. So just realizing that. Step 9, we extend forgiveness to ourselves and to others who have perpetrated against us, realizing this is an attitude of the heart, not always confrontation. We make direct amends, asking forgiveness from those people we have harmed, except when to do so would injure them or others. So just a little bit of a different phraseology there, just to make sure we're very clear on that. It's John Baker also writes, remember, forgiving them in no way excuses them from the harm they've caused you, but it will release you from the power they have had over you. And boy, I encourage any of you, whether you've been a victim of this type of abuse or not, to talk to some of those people that have. And those of you that have, as you are comfortable sharing that with maybe people outside of your small group, because you just have an amazing, those of you that have truly done this, you have an amazing gift at that, because I think, I don't know how one could do that. I had a hard time with just a sister-in-law, you know, in my life. And so I just can learn so much, and I'm so glad that you're part of this ministry, because we all need the capacity to forgive. And so those that we had a testimony done by Jesse from down in Canby, the CR ministry leader. If you haven't heard his testimony, go onto our website and pull up his testimony. He was the guy, if you were here, his father was a police officer, was shot by a kid, and Jesse now has a relationship with that kid, and just modeled and spoke about just a true forgiveness, how he could come around on that. So that's another great story. So that's what we want to talk about as far as forgiving others. Let me just see. I think I've got a couple of things here, final thoughts. So forgiveness requires to first accept God's forgiveness by accepting at the heart level what Jesus did for us. So it's got to come back to that. So let me share with you again what Jesus did for us. Forgiveness is the greatest miracle that Jesus ever performs. It meets the greatest need, it costs the greatest price, and it brings the greatest blessings and the most lasting results. So you have to get that at your heart level. When you do that, then you should be able to forgive yourself. Once again, even if you need to use a little logic, because your emotion is saying, no, it was too terrible, I can't do that. Just realize you have been forgiven. There is no condemnation for those of us in Christ. If he can forgive you, you can forgive you. So if you're struggling with that, look at where that breakdown is. It may just be, I just haven't gotten it. You know, grace, that aggressive forgiveness type of grace, that can be hard to get our minds around. One of my pastor friends, I think he would say this more for shock value, but it's one of those thought pieces. He says, don't be surprised if you see Hitler in heaven. What? God can do that? Really? Yeah, he can. So, I mean, that's just like, okay, I hadn't thought of it that way. I got to get my mind around that one. So once we get that and we forgive ourselves, and then with God's help, we can go out and we can forgive others. So I just want to end with, you know, remember that forgiving others, well, forgiving ourselves and others does not change the past. And that's one of the, I keep talking about it over and over in this ministry, why one of the reasons I love this ministry, because we acknowledge that the past happened. We acknowledge that those things happened, but this ministry is about what are we going to do about it now? How are we going to live closer to God, be better people, all that, okay? So forgiving ourselves and others does not change the past, but it has a huge impact on your future, okay? All right, so we'll end with that, and appreciate you guys just kind of taking some time. I think we have, where did I put that? Well, I know there's a... There we go. There is a focus question. So as you guys get into small groups, you may want to take a look at that. It says, what hurts from the past relationship are you still hanging on to? And how can you let go of them? How can you drop that rope? How can you come to a place where you go, you know, you don't owe me anything? Okay. So focus question if you're looking for some things to talk about in small group tonight.